We're not ready to go yet.
Is there any way you can send this thing into overtime?
Yeah. No problem.
I don't know what he was looking at, but we're going into overtime.
Offset eye. Hand off. And Austin Ryan trying to find room. Finally, he's going to be taken down. And there may have been a fumble. We'll see.
Cameron Bowie.
That was Cameron Bowie with the handoff. And the ball comes out. And it's a turnover.
Well, that's a big turn of events right there. North Carolina dodges the bullet on the last play, and now they get the ball back.
I thought it was Austin Ryan with the carry, but I guess it was not. Cameron Bowie. And Bowie coughs it up on the big hit. North Carolina with the first turnover of the ball. In motion, handoff, Tay Potts. He's got it. Cuts up underneath a nice block. Trying to get to the end zone, and Tay Potts is there. Tay Potts into the end zone for a 21-yard touchdown trot. And a nice block there on the edge for Jamie and Franklin, just riding his guy outside.
And Potts did a great job setting it up. He got outside, slowed down just enough to let Franklin get in front, and then used the block.
Mark Potter and the coach, Dale Beecraft, on the call. And there you have it, the difference of the game. The Cameron Bowie fumble. And then North Carolina capitalizing on it with a touchdown. And that's your final, North Carolina 14 and Kent Island 7. And North Carolina heading to the next round of the playoffs. They'll travel to Elkton, who defeated Queen Anne's 12-0 tonight. Welcome in. It's Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. Mike Bradley coming live from the Edge Training Academy studios at just about 9:17 tonight. Let's get a look at your Pret Moy Therapy Associates. Pret Moy Therapy Associates, providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. And the Overtime Live Friday Night Lights Game of the Week playoff edition, as you heard right here in 2A East action. It was the 4 seed North Carolina over the 1 seed Kent Island, 14-7, exacting revenge, on Kent Island. Kent Island defeating North Carolina earlier in the season by that same score, 14-7. If you remember, it was tied up at 7. North Carolina decided to go for a field goal instead of going for it on fourth down with David Bailey and Tay Potts in the backfield. Guys like that decided to kick the field goal. Kent Island would block it, and they would take it the rest of the way for a touchdown, and Kent Island would win that game 14-7. Now, after the game, James McCormick took responsibility for it, North Carolina's head coach, and last week came on the OTL here and said, you could tell Coach Ferragamo, once obviously they knew this matchup was coming, once things were settled, that I'm going for it on fourth down. And what do you know? On the very first drive for North Carolina, their first possession, first drive of the game, North Carolina faces a fourth and goal. And hey, Coach McCormick, he ain't no liar.
You got David Bailey, Fowler, in the backfield as well. Here comes the handoff, David Bailey straight ahead into the end zone for a Bulldog touchdown. What they should have done back in week number 3, Coach McCormick knew it, and he did it this time. Jody Ward even stuck his head over here out the booth and said, Potter, you know they're going to run this one in.
There you go. Mark Potter on the call. And there you have it. Well, hey, better that they get the win in the playoffs than the loss. Better to exact revenge. And how ironic that that took place the very first drive of the game by North Carolina, who scored on their first drive. Kent Island would turn around, and Austin Ryan led most of the way on the drive that got them into the end zone, capped off by, go figure, Austin Ryan. Oh, we just had that. Oh, here we go.
Marciano hands off to Austin Ryan, goes over the top for a touchdown. That was a nice job by Austin Ryan, getting a good running start. He just laid that ball up and out over the goal line, enough for a Buccaneer touchdown.
Yeah, that was a very athletic play he made.
Again, Mark Potter and the coach, Dale Beecraft, on the call. But there's your final, 14-7. As North Carolina takes care of Kent Island, we'll talk more about this game coming up. Now, Queen Anne's, the 2 seed, hosting the 3 seed Elkton, who lost earlier in the year to Kent Island by a final score. If I'm not mistaken, I'll double check this, but I believe it was 30-0. It was Elkton's lone loss of the year. Kent Island taking advantage of Elkton mistakes and defeating them 27-0. I'm sorry, it was the final score. Close enough. But Elkton with Raekwon Estep getting it done 12-0 the final. Now, look, Queen Anne's, Estep is the guy you got to stop. And Queen Anne's in the first half did a good job. However, they only got Estep the ball five times. Elkton threw the football quite a bit in the first half. They came out and decided to, well, get Estep the ball in the second half. And on Elkton's very first drive of the second half, Elkton scores to go up 6-0. They would add another touchdown later on. This was clearly a defensive game, especially in the first half where he had no score. So Elkton the winner. And I blogged about this in my picks at OvertimeLive.net that don't get fooled by the score 27-0 that Kent Island won by earlier this year. Elkton's more than capable of playing with Kent Island and Queen Anne's. And we saw that last year when Elkton beat Kent Island in the playoffs, and I think Estep had over 200 yards rushing. Now, he was held in check earlier this year when Kent Island won. But that is not a surprise. That game is not a surprise. All right, let's go to the 1A East. The number 2 seed Cambridge had no problem with the 3 seed Perryville. 37-7, the final in that one. The bigger game, the 4 seed Kent County on the road at 1 seed Bow Manor. It's only like a half an hour trip from Wharton. And Kent County coming out the winner 19-0. And how about this? Marquan Green sealing the game with a 105-yard interception return. That's right, 105-yard interception return to seal the game. 19-0, Kent County wins the final of that one. And yes, Marquan Green accounted for all three scores. Are you shocked about that? No. Now, the question was, a 4-seed Kent County going on the road to a 1-seed Bow Manor, who came in at 7-3, Kent County at 5-5. And again, I blogged about this in my picks at OvertimeLive.net, which, by the way, I did go 0-2 in my 2A East picks, although I'm certainly, again, not surprised by the North Carolina win. And I wrote that Carolina could certainly hang with Kent Island. Again, I'll explain more about that in just a second. But we were saying in the 1A East that last week that throw out the seeds with Kent County and Bow Manor, Kent County absolutely had a chance to win this game going in. And as I took a look and as I blogged, Bow Manor, yeah, they were 7-3, but you look at the games that they won, nothing really stood out. Nothing was impressive. They didn't have that signature win. Now, granted, Kent County didn't really have a signature win either coming into this game. But that said, you know, if they hadn't dug themselves such a hole in the first half against Falston last week, they played really well in that second half. They scored 27 points. If they had played just a little bit better in that first half, they might win that game. They lose that 42-27. But we've seen Kent County play better at times this year defensively, and the defense obviously came up big tonight. We've seen them do that, especially in the Easton game earlier this year. We saw them get out and play well in the first half against Cambridge. Granted, the second half was a different story. But I'm not surprised by this result, and especially when you have the likes of a Marquan Green there, along with some others, and the defense stepped up. And realize, Bow Manor, one of their losses this year was to a 2-18. That's right, a 2-18. One of their losses this year. And last week, they had to scratch a claw and barely won over Joppatown. I believe it's like a 3-7 or 4-6 team. I think they won that one like 19-14. So Bow Manor wasn't exactly coming in playing their best ball. And again, you take a look at the record, I just wasn't impressed with anything that I saw there. I thought King County had a chance to win that game, and indeed they did. So here we go. It sets up the 2-seed Cambridge hosting the 4-seed Kent County, a rematch of last year. And earlier this year, well, what a start in that first half. Kent County got out to a 14-0 lead and punched Cambridge in the mouth. Now, to the Vikings' credit, they came back, they tied it up, and then they cruised in the second half, although it was a hard-fought win, though. Don't get confused by the score. It's a hard-fought win, but here we go again. Cambridge and Kent County. Already I did see some yapping on Facebook about bringing on Cambridge. Hey, look, with all due respect, and I appreciate the enthusiasm, but when you've lost 26 straight times to that team, I think it's best just don't say anything and go see if you can win next week, which I think they do have a chance at winning next week. It's going to be an uphill battle, but it should be a great game. And if anything, Kent County laid the groundwork in that first half of the game is, hey, this is what we have to do. We got to do a better job now. The thing that Cambridge did, if you remember last game, is I think Marquand Greene had no more than his biggest gain, that is, was no more than 11 yards. So Cambridge really did a great job containing Greene from making any big plays, even though he did have a couple of touchdowns. So Cambridge, Kent County, again, in the 1A. I'm fine with that. Now let's go back to this 2A East game tonight. North Carolina, Kent Island. Yeah, I picked Kent Island in this one. I thought that playing at home, I thought more importantly, though, the defense, which gave up 24 to Queen Anne's the week before, I thought they'd come out and play better. Not that they played poorly last week. They didn't. They played well. But credit Queen Anne's with some plays. But I thought Kent Island would bounce back and eke out a win. But I thought it would be close. And here's the thing that I wrote at OvertimeLive.net again in my picks, is that North Carolina can more than match, if not exceed, Kent Island in the trenches. And you saw that today. Now, it was a one-score game, and Kent Island had their chances. They moved the ball, don't get me wrong. And that hook and ladder, Cameron Bowie, a rough game today. Rough game, fumbles the ball. He also fumbled that hook and ladder out of bounds. He would have had a touchdown by all accounts, which would have tied the game up. But hey, the kid's out there competing, trying hard. But North Carolina with the win, but that's a team that can handle a team like Kent Island in the trenches. They can. And they did. They did tonight. They took advantage of a mistake and they scored. But as much as Kent Island at times was able to move the ball offensively, so was North Carolina. And when they need to make stops, when they need to get in the backfield at times with some sacks, they did that. So tonight, no surprise whatsoever. And you really throw out the seedings, 1-4, both teams, flip of a coin. And as it turns out, the second time around, North Carolina gets to win, ironically, on the road where they lost at home in week one. But you know, I think if they go for it on fourth down in week three, that they get that win. But anyway, that is what it is. You take a look at North Carolina, though. Here's a team that went undefeated last year and had a heartbreaking loss to Walkersville. I was at the game. Of course, I do the playoff games, most of them from the sideline, and helping Mark and the coach out there. I love that. Had to interview the players and coaches after the game. It was a heartbreaking loss in Ridgely, and it was such a great atmosphere for the weeks leading up to that game. You look this season, they lost a key guy at quarterback. They lost a key guy at wide receiver. They still had a lot of excellent talent coming back with David Bailey and Tate Potts. And Jamie and Franklin transfers back from Gilman on the Western Shore. But to have to start all over again and get back to this point is not easy. To have to reset the scene is not easy. And for them to be a game away from getting back to the semifinals, and granted they're going to have to go on the road to Elkton, and they're going to have to gut that win out and hope that David Bailey's healthy or near 100%. I don't know if anybody's 100% this time around. But to put themselves in a position where they're just a game away from getting back to where they were last year, I don't think a lot of people expected that. I expected them to get to the playoffs, but I wasn't quite sure from there. And yet, look what they've done. And again, in the trenches is huge. In the trenches is huge, and they've got that. And of course, they've got the running game. And Cody Pepper's got a little bit better as the season's gone on. When they call on him. Now, there's a big play where he missed a pass on a bootleg. He's going to have to convert some of them, especially next week. Got to take advantage of those guys, especially in a box that may have 9, 10, in some cases tonight, 11 guys where both defenses sold out. But that all said, kudos to them. You know, for Kent Island this year, and we'll get to the newsmaker line here in just a second. For Kent Island, you know, all year, Coach Damian Ferragamo was very honest about his team offensively and that they were uneven all year. And it just wasn't what you typically would expect. The comments coming out, not what you would expect. He was very honest about the offense. Defense and special teams were great all year long. That's a heck of a defense. It came up just a little short tonight. But it's just a matter of playing a team that matches up with you really well, and it's a conference game, and you're playing it for the second time. Yeah, nothing really to hang your head about there. It's not. It's simply not. Now, for Queen Anne's, and I, as you know, had them number one over Kent Island all year long. Took some heat for it. Queen Anne's wins last week. But again, that was a flip of the coin. I did like Queen Anne's just a little bit better. But tonight in their loss, they lose to a really good Elkton team. And the offense obviously not there for them tonight. Defensively, all in all, did a pretty decent job. But, you know, when you score no points, what's your defense supposed to do at that point? But again, nothing to hold your heads down about. Some tough losses tonight for those teams. But for North Carolina, the 2A, probably of the three teams, that was maybe the least team you expected to move on. But, hey, kudos to them. Kudos to them. And Cambridge and Kent County advancing in the 1A. All right, let's go out to the phone line. Overtime Live, who's this?
Hey, it's Mark Potter, Mike.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Hey, in all the excitement, we forgot to announce who the Overtime Live poll is. Signed jewelry coach of the year was.
Oh, yeah. Well, go ahead. Please do so.
Well, it's going to be Donnie Grafe. He will pick up the $500 gift certificate to Paula's Fine Jewelry located in Chester. Not sure that that'll make him feel any better tonight, but, you know, it's still a well-deserved award, and he won the random drawing that we did earlier from all the coaches that participate with us throughout the year. But congratulations, Donnie Grafe. From Queen Anne's, our Overtime Live Paula's Fine Jewelry Coach of the Year.
Very good. Well, Mark, great job tonight, you and the coach and Matt Griffith, and we certainly had a playoff atmosphere, and this game was everything that I think we expected tonight, and it just turned out that obviously you got to have a winner and a loser, and North Carolina's the winner, and kudos as they put themselves, as I mentioned, just a game away from getting back to where they were last year, and we were all there for that heartbreaking loss. Obviously, they got a tough task with Elkton next week, first things first. But, man, kudos to the job that that the Bulldogs have done this year.
Yeah, I tell you what, I will admit, I wasn't expecting to take the ride to Elkton next week. But you know what? We've taken the OTL Travel and Road Show before to Cecil County, and well, we'll load up and do it again next week.
Yeah, it looks like I've got shotgun. Sorry, Coach.
That's right.
So, or I can take Coach's car. If he wants shotgun, I'll just take Coach's car then.
Well, yeah, really. We can load up in the... what is that thing? The Camaro. Yeah, we can put it in the Camaro.
I don't think he wants me anywhere close to his Camaro.
And I don't think we want the top down either. So it got really cold out there tonight. But you know what? Who I feel the worst for tonight is Cameron Bowie.
Yeah.
That ball, there was nothing but green grass between him and the end zone. And you hate to see it. You hate to see it happen on a kid. Now, we all know that there are plays throughout the whole ball game that, you know, it's not just one play. But,
right.
Yeah, wow, you just feel bad for that kid.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, in a game like that, when you put yourself on the line, you know, those things can happen, but that's all about competing and taking responsibility. But the fact that they're out competing and representing their school and doing the best that they can, that's all you can ask for.
Absolutely. Well, we'll let you get back to the rest of the show. Looking forward to hearing from the coaches from across the Bayside that are still playing. You know, congratulations to Cambridge, South Dorchester, and also to the folks at
Kent County.
Yep. Coach Brent Nyerton, it's good to see them able to pull off victories. But, you know, hey, we enjoy bringing the games each and every year and each and every week. And this is our eighth year with Overtime Live and 13 years bringing you games right here on the shore through First Media Radio.
You know, Mark, it's crazy, and I'll just say this real quick, and then we'll hop off, take a break, and get the coaches. Two quick things is I'm sitting here in the studio, and boy, how things have changed in this very studio going back all those years to running the rotary pots for the Easton High School games back in like 2004, 2005 to what we are today. And we've come a long way, and this is great, and look forward to hopefully several more games before the end of the year.
Well, it's not possible without our sponsors. You know, they are the ones that are able to provide the money for us to be able to buy the time from 94.3 Wink Sound Family. And this is our deal. This is Overtime Live. And thanks again to all of our great sponsors, our listeners, and, of course, the teams, because, after all, they make it exciting. And I will tell you, Coach Colin Joseph came over to me after the game and said, "So when are you going to start paying us for making these games so exciting?"
I tell you, we've had pretty much all year, maybe minus one game. They've all been great. But real quick, Mark, I've got to tell you, you're going to have to school these young bucks. Now, Spencer Tillis has been in the market a couple of years, but he says, "Dogs pull off upset on Twitter. Spencer, this was not an upset for those in the know. Sorry, buddy.
No, and, you know, this was a game that, with the David Bailey, you know, I kind of suspected that North Carolina could pull it off, but we knew it was going to be a close game nonetheless. And it was, an exciting one. And we're just thankful that we get to be a part of it. And we'll send it back to you in the Edge Training Academy studios.
All right, very good. Mark, thanks so much. You and the coach, and I'll catch you guys on the trip up to Elkton next week.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. All right, that's Mark Potter joining us on the coach's line at 9:35 on the OTL. All right, we will take a timeout, and when we come back, we will grab a couple of the coaches around the Bayside. We'll try to catch up with head coach Donnie Grafe of Queen Anne's, also Kent County head coach Brendan Ireton, Cambridge, South Dorchester head coach Jay Coleman, as well as all those teams in action tonight. And again, North Carolina, the winner over Kent Island. Queen Anne's falls to Elkton. Cambridge, a winner over Perryville. And Kent County, a winner over Bow Manor. So then there were three. And we're back next. It's the OTL, 94.3 Blinks FM at sfmsports.net.
Sport Clips, America's haircut place for men and boys, boldly asks, who invented the demolition derby? Man. Yes, guys live their life a little differently. At Sport Clips, guys find sports on TV, a relaxing neck and shoulder massage, our legendary hot steam towel, and a haircut that always looks great. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy.
Sport Clips, with locations in Easton, Kent Island, Salisbury, and coming soon to Cambridge. Visit sportclips.com.
The Edge Training Academy is your one-stop shop for all your training goals. Whether you're looking to improve the way you feel, to improving your on-field performance, the Edge Training Academy is the place for you. What can the Edge do for you? Here are what some of our clients are saying.
The Edge has definitely made me a stronger, faster, and smarter athlete.
Developed me into an athlete like no other.
It's just created monumental change in not only my physical play, but my attitude as well.
The Edge Training Academy is located at 220 Law Canoe Circle in the Chesapeake Bay Business Park in Stevensville. For more information, check us out online at theedgetrainingacademy.com or call us at 443-249-3133.
On your own, you have limits, and Coach Willie and his staff push you well beyond those to let you reach new heights that you didn't even know you were capable of.
The Edge Training Academy, where passion meets performance.
The games are over, the lights are off, and the crowds have gone home. But we are just getting started. It's time to analyze the games, hear from the coaches, and look ahead to next week in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 9:37 on the OTL, presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites, coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios. Right out to the coaches' line we go, and the head coach of the Queen Anne's County Lions, head coach Donnie Grafe, joining us. And, coach, obviously a tough one, and you get to this point in the year, and there can only be one winner and one loser, and somebody's going home. And clearly tonight against Elkton, a defensive battle in the first half in this one.
Yeah, it was. You know, Elkton came in, and they we couldn't control the line of scrimmage. They got a good push on their line, and we were playing football on their side of the line of scrimmage. So made it tough on us. Really couldn't get anything going. Kind of grasping for straws on certain things, and just couldn't build on anything.
Now, just going over some of my notes following the game on Twitter, I guess on your first possession, Elkton forced a fumble on that, but that didn't come back to hurt you. Later in the game, you pick off Elkton at the 5-yard line, which was a big stop there in the game. But as you talked about, tough in the trenches tonight. Now, my understanding is Elkton actually came out throwing the football more and didn't get Raekwon Estep involved as much as they did in the second half. I guess that was a bit of a surprise.
A lot of the tape we saw him throwing the ball a lot, and a lot of time the S-step kid was out of receiver. So,
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to find ways to get in the ball. It might not be handing it off to him, but like I said, they had him out of receiver, and he's a threat. And, you know, by no means was he a one-man show. You know, the quarterback played well, and their offensive line played pretty well.
Tonight, in the second half of the game, a 32-yard touchdown run and a 20-yard touchdown run for Estep, and there's your 12 points there. The Elks fumble in the red zone later in the game, which, again, was a big stop for you guys, but then they intercept a pass on third down around the 21-yard line, but obviously they didn't capitalize that. But, you know, for the defense tonight, Coach, obviously when your offense isn't getting much going, that's tough, but credit the defense for holding them down to just two scores like that. You really can't ask for too much more.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, I thought we played well. Like I said, we just couldn't get anything going offensively. you know, some of the stuff that's been good for us all year long. We weren't having a lot of success with it, so we started trying to find some other things that we have in the playbook that work, and just couldn't really get anything going. There was just no nothing fluid. Everything seemed like it was a chore. Nothing was coming easy. Like I said, when you don't control the line of scrimmage and you don't get a push, I have a tendency to look that way. So.
And, Coach, you know, we always talk about, you know, it's one thing to make mistakes in terms of executing the proper block or the play that's called, but, you know, sometimes you do face an opponent where they're just better than you in the trenches physically, and there's not a whole lot you can do about that.
No, I mean, it's, you know, that's very true. And, you know, with Mike D'Angelo, I thought going into it we had a good opportunity to be successful throwing the ball a little bit. But that didn't really materialize either. We had a couple guys open, maybe overthrew the ball. We just got a pretty nice win here, but, you know, overthrew the ball a little bit. And I don't know. I mean, even some of the patterns that we were running that we've run all year long, it seemed like we had two receivers in the same area, 5 or 6 yards of each other. So there's just a lot of little things. You know, no correcting things now. You know, it's over with. And it's disappointing, but at the same time, it's been a good year. We're going to miss this group of seniors.
Coach, I know that you guys missed out on media day this year, so we didn't get a chance to talk to you guys too much. But just for anecdotally hearing from people that it sounded like you really felt good about this team this year, and I think what you had all seniors on the offensive line or near that, Mike D'Angelo, we saw what he did in the playoff game, had being thrown into action against North Carolina, and you guys almost winning that game last year. You really got a sense that this was one of your better teams. And you know, look, regular season, 9-1, and you knock off Kent Island, who everybody had number one except for me. I had you guys number one all year in my power poll. The one loss just to Sussex Central outside of the conference. So, you know, you get the number two seed, you go to the playoffs, you win the Bayside, you win the Chesapeake Cup. You pretty much accomplish all your goals here going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, these are all things that we've accomplished before. You know, we're still waiting for that elusive state championship. You know, I thought maybe this team here, you know, had the makeup to maybe take us that far and give us a shot at it. But like I said, we fell short tonight. You know, this thing's going to happen. You're dealing with 16, 17-year-old kids. They're going to have good nights. They're going to have bad nights. And it's happened to be a bad one against a good football team. And it showed.
And, Coach, you know, talking with head coach Ferragamo from Kent Island and Kent Island falling short tonight to North Carolina 14-7, he was saying that he truly believes this 2A East, especially this year, has to be one of, if not the toughest in the state.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think, you know, Elkton and North Carolina is going to be a heck of a football game next week. You know, watching Elkton on tape over the last week or so, and, you know, I thought maybe out of the four teams, I thought that maybe they were the weakest, but after seeing them in person and you know, hearing their kids talk, maybe it's going to be a heck of a game next week, so we'll see what happens.
Coach, what do you think are the differences between those two teams going into next week between Carolina and Elkton?
That's a good question. That one I really haven't given much thought.
Well, I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, oh, no, you're not. Yeah, I think, you know, Caroline, everything kind of revolves around David Bailey. So, you know, if David Bailey has his way, you know, he'll have a big game. But I think, you know, after playing Elkton now, I think Elkton will have ways to shut him down. They're pretty physical up front. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I wish Caroline all the best, you know, being right here on the Eastern Shore with us and neighboring county. And,
sure.
You know, I wish them all the best, and I hope they win the football game, but it should be a heck of a game. Elkton keep you on your toes too. The quarterback throws the ball well, so when you have Estep running the football and the quarterback that they have throwing the football, they're going to keep you on your toes. They can balance it pretty well.
Coach, I always ask this at the end of the season of every coach just to kind of go back and take a look at the JV program this year. And I know it's so early already to be thinking about next year, but just wanted to kind of get a state of things with your program. I know you do lose a lot of seniors, but that's nothing new for you guys.
No, it's the amount of seniors we have this year is pretty much the same we have every year. So it was just a good group of seniors. You know, we had a lot of three-year starters on that offensive line. Things are bright. I mean, we have quite a few underclassmen, had four or five sophomores up here with us this year that got a lot of playing time, and I think the future will still be bright for Queen Anne. So, it's hard to look that far ahead.
So, certainly understandable.
I think the future is going to be bright. You know, it's good to see the conference keep improving every year. It's getting to a point now where, I mean, there is no easy games on the schedule. It's a dogfight week in and week out. So, you know, I think at the South, if you catch up with the North, you're going to have one heck of a conference.
Well, and that's the thing. Unfortunately, this year the South kind of took a step back, but we'll see if they can get it together at some point. But the North had another excellent year. There's no question about that. Coach, as we wrap things up, I don't know how much consolation it is tonight, but I wanted to let you know that we have awarded you our Coach of the Year, and you get a $500 gift card to Paula's Fine Jewelry in Chester. So maybe some early Christmas shopping there for you, already taken care of, or at least on your way. So.
Yeah, the wife will be happy tonight anyway. So
that'd be one good thing.
So.
There you go. Well, Coach, this show is not possible without A, our advertisers, but also B, the coaches like yourself who join us each and every week that really give us the insight and the understanding of the teams and the games. So we really appreciate it. I'm sorry you came up short tonight, but I had you number one all the way, and you came through last week for me against Kent Island. But as always, though, we really do appreciate your contribution all year on the program.
Thanks for all you guys do too. You know, it's a tremendous amount of work for you guys, and thanks for getting publicity here to the kids and to the football programs here on the shore.
Well, very happy to do it, Coach. You have yourself a good one, and an early happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Okay, thank you. You too.
All right, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Head Coach Donnie Gray for the Queen Anne's County Lions, and. You know, you could hear the disappointment in his voice because he very, very much did think highly that this team could get him back to. Potentially a state final like they did in, 2008 against Eastern Votech. And I was there for that at M&T Bank Stadium on that cold Saturday evening into the night where the snow started to come down. And fortunately, Queen Anne's came up a little short in that one. But that was a heck of an atmosphere. And there was a bunch of tailgating beforehand. And, you can hear the disappointment. And, fortunately for a program like Queen Anne's, they're always usually in a pretty good situation where you could probably say a year from now they'll be back here. But that all said, though, you get a special collection of talent, three-year starters, that's huge. You know, you come up short like that. Every year is different. Every year presents different challenges, and you've got different players. It's never exactly the same, at least not usually. And so when you come up a little short like that, it's heartbreaking. And tonight, as you could hear him say, just could not get much going, and Elkton controlling in the trenches. And it sounds like in an early preview for next week that Elkton is going to present more of a balanced offense that, you know, they could throw the football. Estep, of course, is probably their main threat still at running back there, but that they can get after it. They're going to be physical up front defensively. They got some speed on the edges. So certainly a challenge for North Carolina next week, but that's no surprise. I mean, at this point in the playoffs, what? You're going to face a bad team? Of course not. Of course not. But Queen Anne's, as I mentioned, coming into this game, undefeated in the Bayside. Bayside Championship, Chesapeake Cup, beating their arch rival, number 2 seed of the playoffs. Got that home game. All big things. And if they had won, they would have been hosting North Carolina next week. So they put themselves in as good a position as possible. Their lone loss to Sussex Central outside of the Bayside Conference. Didn't play the best first half, played better in the second half. But that's a game that gets you ready for the playoffs, like a game like tonight. Unfortunately, though, it didn't pay off. But certainly not that they wouldn't do it again. Of course they would. And hopefully they'll continue to. So, all right, that's where we leave things. Going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll head to the 1As. We've got Cambridge. We've got Kent County and Victors. They're going to be playing each other next week. More to come. It's EOTL, 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
Serving Talbot, Dorchester, Caroline, and Queen Anne's County since 1919, Mensa Petroleum offers service contracts and 24-hour emergency service for all fuel oil customers and price cap protection for budget plan customers. Get peace of mind by talking with one of the oil heat representatives, eager to respond to all your heating and air conditioning needs. Mensa Petroleum, now with even better service than before. Ready, willing, and able to service you. Call Mensa Petroleum at 410-822-4335. That's 410-822-4335.
Football season is here, and Cario, where do you go for your tailgating supplies?
The only place to go, Krabby Grawls.
With locations in St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge.
We've got all your tailgating needs, Mark Potter, from Bloody Mary mixes to gourmet mustards, hot sauces, and barbecue sauces.
Everything you need to slap on your meat available at Krabby Grawls.
Don't forget your bacon ketchup and your hoodies.
It's all available at Krabby Grawls, St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge, and available online at KrabbyGrawl.com.
From the Queen Anne's County Lions to the Cambridge South Dorchester Vikings, we have football covered in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 9:50 is the time of the OTL, presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus Easton and its suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Trading Academy Studios at just about 9:51 the time. Back to the coaches' line we go, and head coach Brendan Ireton of the Kent County Trojans, 19-0 winners over Bow Manor tonight. And coach, congratulations to you as you advance to the next round of the playoffs. And you know, I said on my blog in my picks section at overtimelive.net, you know, coming in, I took a look at Bow Manor. With all due respect to them, yes, they were 7-3. Yes, they made the playoffs, but I saw them in a scrimmage against North Carolina earlier this year. They got blown out. They didn't look impressive. Granted, it was against North Carolina, but taking a look at the regular season schedule, I didn't really see any wins, impressive wins, like, oh my gosh, like Kent County can't go up there and win. You know, the one seed, the four seed, I kind of threw that out. I picked you guys to win tonight, and you came through scoreless first half, though, so obviously very much a defensive game in the first half.
Right, I mean, UFO Manor is, first of all, they had a very good season, and those guys are they're very tough, and they're very technically sound, and their coaches do a very good job with them. I think it's, you know, watching Bow Manor, Red Stones, and we had a bunch of them. You know, they're definitely a team that grew throughout the season. And, you know, at the end of the year, they have different guys playing some different positions, and as the season goes on, they move some guys around. So, you know, personally, I think they're a pretty good football team. Obviously, they won 7 games. You know, with Elton, they held Elton pretty tight for 3 quarters. So they're a pretty good 1-8 football team, and I got to give them credit for the season they had. Our guys played really well tonight. Advantage of opportunities, and I'm just proud of the way our guys played.
I'm going to go backwards and work from there tonight. Marquand Green sealing the game with a 105-yard interception return. I guess David Inslee's going to have to look that one up. That's probably a Bayside record, but holy crow.
Yeah, it's just we knew once we got off, we forced the pass football, we knew. And we're in a pretty good position. They were thrown into the wind, and the wind was crazy tonight. So, you know, we made it interesting at the end, of course. But you know, with that it was just great to watch that and get that win.
So Marquand Green, a 105-yard interception return to seal the game. He also had a 3-yard touchdown run and a 50-yard touchdown run. That kicked things off with a 7-0 lead in the second half, and you built from that. You know, Coach, I talked about the fact that as well in picking you guys tonight that, you know, we've seen your defense play well at times this year, and that obviously tonight that they would need to have a pretty good game. Not that you guys couldn't score points, but obviously you need to improve greatly from the Falster game last week, and you guys obviously did that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Paulson last week. Paulson is a very good football team. They're 9 points away from having 7 wins this year. They're pretty good athletes, and they're in a tough upper conference. And, you know, we didn't play well enough last week, but we were able to bounce back. And I was proud. You know, the Bow Manor came out with a perfect game plan, and they were just pounding it, and running weak side. We made some really good adjustments at halftime. It just kind of, you know, opened the door for us, and we were able to maintain the clock in the second half. And, you know, we just took advantage of it.
And taking a look in this game and in terms of offensively, Coach, in the second half, you know, Green with all 3 touchdowns for you in this one. But was it a matter of pretty much a ground game attack? Were you mixing it, passing it, and running, or how did it go?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to pound that rock. You know, we're going to ride our guys, and, you know, our players are stepping up. You know, A.J. Collins and Johnson stepped up big time the last 2 weeks, and, you know, Mark Wallace looked fine. And, you know, the defense playing a great job, putting people fresh in the quarterback, forcing turnovers. So, you know, overall, these guys, they really stepped it up this week.
And defensively, Coach, was it, and I believe it was, and correct me if I'm wrong, was it Devin Thompson that got hurt last week? And I know that hurt you against Falston. What's his health status? Did he play tonight?
He did not play this week. So we're trying to see how he feels. And, you know, we'll think from there. Devin is, you know, definitely the heart and soul of our defense. And it was big loss, big time. But the guys played for him tonight.
I was going to say, I mean, the fact that they stepped up with him out and shut out Bo Matter, that's obviously very impressive. You know, Coach, you take a look at the schedule playing Falston the last game of the year leading into the playoff game. That was the best thing that could have happened to you guys, win or lose last week. That's the kind of game going on the road, too, and further distance than Bo Matter that gets you ready for a game like this. So that was great scheduling there, Coach.
Fortunately, it was my choice, but yeah. It's just, you look at our schedule, 5-5 in the later season, 4 out of 5 of those losses were to teams that were 7 or 3 or better. And, you know, it's been frustrating, it's been a roller coaster, but the guys stuck together and you know, just want to keep this rolling.
Now, Coach, let's look forward to next week. You'll revisit Cambridge, a team that you well know, obviously, both 1A teams battling it out. And the game earlier this year, an excellent first half. And even the second half, Cambridge had to fight for everything they got. You guys hung in there. You know, you go back to that game and coming in, and we all know that there's a losing streak there, but you come into that game and saying, well, you know, Stevie Curran's not there anymore. Yeah, the defense is a little better, but you got Marquan Green playing out of position at quarterback, but, you know, but he's also a great athlete, and, you know, we'll see. But, you know, you look at that first half and say, and you had told me the week before that we know that we can't get fancy. We need to get more physical, and we need to go attack them and you know, throw the first punch out there and get it done. And you guys did that to the tune of a 14-0 lead. So I know the game didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, but it's like you kind of maybe laid the foundation. Now you got to go back there, but you got to do it for 4 quarters.
Yeah, you know, jumping up 14-0, we had our opportunities that game, and we just got to be able to finish. Yeah, we got athletes. We got more than Mark Longreen. We got athletes all over the board. You got Carl Lister, Trey Wright, Sauce Phillips, and Johnson. Our offensive line's done pretty well. We just got to play the best team that we can play. And like I told the kids, it doesn't matter what you did during the regular season. It's going to matter what you do the second time around. So we're just grateful we're going to get the second opportunity, and we're going to prepare like the best we can this week, just get ourselves in that position.
I was going to say, I mean, that's all you can ask for, to give yourself an opportunity to go back and try and do it again and take a look at what you did well, what you didn't do well, and build from that. That's all you could ask for. But obviously, you had to get through tonight and going on the road. What kind of atmosphere was it? What was it like at Bo Matter, Coach?
It was great atmosphere. It was, you know, both sides were packed. You know, Bo Manor put on a good show. They had the band very nice, and field looked good. And I thought it was a great night for Friday Night Football. You couldn't ask for anything else.
So, again, certainly will prepare you for going into Cambridge, but that's not a place, obviously, you're unfamiliar with. That's, I guess, one of the positive things with, you know, playing another Bayside team is that there's obviously a lot of familiarity there. Some of that's not good because they know you real well, but then, of course, you know them well, but also playing in that environment, you've done that before.
Yeah. So, should be a big week. Should be fun. So,
well, Coach, congratulations on the win and Kent County back for another week in the playoffs. They improved to 6-5 with their win over Bo Matter, 19-0. Doing it on the road, they're going to have to do it again next week, but ought to be a really good game. And, Coach, you know, we're going to be up in Elkton, but we'll be paying close attention to your game next week.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. And safe travels back, if not already back, because Bo Matter's a pretty short trip there, half an hour. So I think that trip was shorter than Falston. In fact, I know it was. So if you're Kent County, look, you laid some groundwork in that game in the first half. Can you add to it? Can you build from it? Can you finish next week? Can you do that against Cambridge? That will be the question. And we'll talk with Cambridge head coach Jay Coleman coming up here in just a couple of minutes. If that's not him beeping, if that's not him, then it's David Inslee, one of the two here. But that's all you could ask for, Kent County, is to give yourself another shot. And a big win on the road to shut out a team like that, the number one seed, 7-3. And he was right about that. The one thing, you take a look at Bo Matter, they played Elkton tough for three quarters before succumbing. And you look tonight what, you know, Elkton did to Queen Anne's. That's impressive. But that all said, you got to go and slay the dragon at some point. Will that be next week? Was earlier this year a foundation-laying type game for that? We will see. Not going to be easy. Cambridge is a talented team. And they took care of Perryville in pretty big fashion tonight. All right, let's go back out to the coaches' line, the newsmaker line. It's really whoever shows up. OTL, who's this?
Hi, handsome. How are you?
That's David Inslee. David, I'm doing great, man. How are you? David Inslee from the Star Democrat. I tell you what, let's take a quick 60-second timeout, David, and we'll come back and we'll talk about some of these games. How about it?
Okay, we'll do.
All right, sounds good. All right, 10 o'clock straight up on 94.3 Winx FM, sfmsports.net.
Paula's Fine Jewelry is a full-service family jewelry store specializing in jewelry, keepsakes, and gifts for the whole family. At Paula's, you'll find quality certified diamonds, sterling silver, charms, diamond and gemstone jewelry, and pearls, as well as designer and sports jewelry. Paula's Fine Jewelry offers custom jewelry design, on-premise jewelry repair, and appraisals by appointment. For the best quality from your hometown jewelry store, stop by Paula's Fine Jewelry at 1607 Postal Road in Chester. Paula's is open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6 until 2 on Saturday. Call Paula's Fine Jewelry today at 410-643-8045.
It's time to turn the heat up on the competition during the top 100 sales drive at the Preston Autoplex.
This year's inventory is the largest on the East Coast and includes over 2,000 new Fords, Lincolns, Mazda, Nissan, Hyundais, and even pre-owned vehicles too. You can get total savings up to $12,000 and finance rates as low as 0% for 72 months is available on select vehicles, and our prices include free. Plus, you get a yellow frog to support our troops.
The top 100 sales drive is on, and we'll do whatever it takes to earn your business only at the Preston Autoplex, or hop online to PrestonMotor.com.
WINX-FM, St. Michael's Easton, Maryland's only high school football show on game night, is Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM.
10:02 on the OTL Playoff Edition. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios, Mike Bradley along with you, getting a look at that Brett Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard. And then we'll set it out and talk to David Inslee, the Star Democrat. And our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights Game of the Week Playoff Edition. It was the 4-seed North Carolina defeating the 1-seed Kent Island by a score of 14-7. The number 2-seed Queen Anne's blanked by the 3-seed Elkton 12-0. So next week, the 4-seed North Carolina travels to the 3-seed Elkton. In the 1A East, the 2-seed Cambridge, 37-7 winners over the 3-seed Perryville at home. They will take on the 4-seed Kent County, who blanked the 1-seed Bow Manor 19-0. And that's where we have it. No Bayside South teams made the playoffs this year. David Inslee joining us on the newsmaker line. You know, David, tonight, North Carolina, ironically, they win by the same score that Kent Island defeated them by earlier in the year. And their very first drive, they get to a fourth and goal. They decide to go for it instead of kicking a field goal. They get the touchdown. Maybe it was 8 weeks too late. Well, I shouldn't say too late, but 8 weeks in coming, that is. But North Carolina gets it done. And for me personally, I can't say that I'm shocked by this, because they're the kind of team that can match Kent Island in the trenches.
Yeah, that was one of those games where I felt like no matter who I picked, I'd get it wrong. And, yep, I did.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. I picked Kent Island. But, you know, hey, I mean, it's a coin toss game.
Yeah. I think I picked both the 1A's right, got the 2A's wrong. Interesting, though, is that the home team is the Bayside. The playoffs involve the Bayside team. The home team was 1-3 tonight. That lone winner was
CSU. Yeah, you're right about that, and I'm with you. I also picked both 1A teams and lost both 2A games in that. But you know, you take a look at Kent Island, and you know, again, nothing to really hang your head about. They faced a team that matched up really well with them, a conference game that the other team knew them well. Yeah, it was a home game, but as I said, I think that you know, home field advantage to some extent is overrated. But North Carolina traveled real well in this game.
Yeah, they did, and I think that you know, it's interesting. I got it right in that I picked Kent Island to win once and they won, and I picked North Carolina to win once and they won. I just got the sequence back.
There you go.
I picked North Carolina in week, what, three, I guess it was.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
I went with the Buccaneers. But, yeah, congratulations, North Carolina. After not having won a playoff game in school history, I think, they're now in their second straight regional final. So credit to them and James McCormick and all those guys for, you know, the effort that they've put in. And it's a testament to the fact they've had a quality program for years, and now they've got the personnel, the timing, and everything else that's going right for them. So we'll see what they can do up in Elkton next week.
Yeah, they've got a big task in front of them. But, David, as I said, and we were there for that heartbreaking loss, the OTL group last year, and for them to have to reset the scene and come back and rebuild to get back to this point, a game away from the state semifinal, that's huge. And not that I didn't think they could come back and have a good year and possibly make the playoffs, but I didn't expect them to get this far. Still a very talented team, don't get me wrong. I just thought they come up a little short, that's all. But to get to this point is big, because, again, we were all there for that heartbreaking loss, and to have to go back to the weight room to start all over again. That's one of the toughest things to have to do.
Yeah, and not a lot of people also would have figured that Ken Island would start 9-0 and then finish 0-2.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. Yeah,
had a rough go against Queen Anne. Couldn't pull that out at home. Apparently, they played. There were what, two games today that were scoreless ties at halftime, or was it three?
We had, we had Kent County was scoreless with Bo Matter at halftime, and Elkton Queen Anne's was scoreless at halftime.
Yeah, so
two of the four.
At halftime, I think CSD had outscored all the other Bayside teams and their opponents in the playoffs. They had 22 points, and I think the total was, it was 14-7 with North Carolina game.
Yeah.
They had, and everyone else had 21, but Perryville's not a bad team. They had all the tools. It's just that, like Chris Johnson, the Perryville coach, told me, he said that Cambridge basically just did everything right at the line of scrimmage. They dominated at the point of attack on both sides of the ball and made the plays that needed to be made. I mean, I'm a big believer in omens, symbolism, all that bunch of stuff, because I'm a nerd. But it was a huge omen that Cambridge went onside on the opening kickoff and Brandon Tibbs recovered it, and they went down the field on two plays, scored to make it 8-0 on the touchdown. I think it was Taj Moloch had that, and then...
Yep, he did. Trey Lake had the two-point conversion, and then Trey Lake had a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, Perryville was called for offside. That's why they went for 2 points. And that was big because, down the road, it helped CFD run the clock a little bit quicker. They ran it for almost the whole fourth quarter until Perryville scored, in the final couple of minutes to stop it. But by then, it was too little too late, so... They lost the shutout, and that doesn't mean much of anything now, really. A win's a win, kind of like what happened Tuesday night. I'm just glad that tonight I won't be up until 4:30.
There you go. Well, okay, so we kind of dissected North Carolina, Kent Island. Queen Anne's, they get shut out by Elkton 12-0. The defense, you couldn't ask for too much more from Queen Anne's defense, although it certainly helped that Elkton only rushed Estep five times in the first half. But head coach Donnie Graves said, no, we weren't that surprised because we saw Elkton throw the ball a lot as well on tape. So it's a team that obviously has a somewhat balanced approach to things. But that all said, first drive, second half, they give the ball to Estep a lot, and he scores, and he also scored the other touchdown. At the end of the day, it's still the running game for the Elks.
Yeah, I had said when I was making my picks that Queen Anne should win that game unless they can't stop Estep, and that was what happened. They could stop him on a couple of plays late, and it hurt him. I called out Marquand Green as the player that was going to be the biggest factor in the game against Bo Manor.
Right.
And luckily, I was right on that. But, that touchdown, the pick six, I'm going to go ahead and say that was probably a Bayside record, 105 yards.
Right.
An interception or a fumble are the only ways you could run it back out of the end zone, because the punt, this field goal, a kickoff, if it crosses the goal line, it's automatically a touchback. So odds are, that's got to be a record. It's rare that anybody runs it back more than 80 anyway. So.
Yeah, I'll get back to those two games in just a second. But with Elkton and Queen Anne's, though, offensively, the bigger story is offensively, they got nothing going by the sounds of it from Coach. They were dominated in the trenches, couldn't get a push. Elkton was getting a push. And, you know, frankly, and look, I was big on quarterback Mike D'Angelo and the passing game and the balanced attack they had early in the year. But, you know, sadly, as the year's gone on, the Queen Anne's passing game has diminished quite a bit. And Coach said tonight they thought they could do some things. And they, again, were unable to do so, whether it be poor route running or two guys in the same place or missed passes. That passing game went from really good early in the year to not so good at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't know what the situation was, but, you know, Coach calls plays based on what he thinks is going to work at the time. And, you know, they did finish 9-1, knocked off the top team in the conference. So, you know, second-guessing him is good now, but he saw it, you know, he obviously saw it differently than we did. Now,
I mean, I'm not second-guessing him there. I'm just saying that the passing game, you know, got, unfortunately, worse as the season went on, not better.
Yeah, it just happens sometimes. Plus, to be honest, just like in basketball, we're a guard-heavy conference. In football, we're a run-heavy conference. It's just the way it's been for quite a long time. We just don't have the Scott Tolles, the Taylor Henrys, the Stevie Currens that come out very often.
Sure,
because
sure.
When you do have them, you just don't have guys like Ryan Bryce and T.J. Nixon that can catch it, and linemen that can block for you as well. If you pass.
Well, that's the biggest thing. Yeah, the biggest thing is the protection. I think that's the biggest thing, and having a quarterback be able to make adjustments at the line of scrimmage to adjust the protection if you keep the pass play. I think that's the biggest thing. I just think with probably lack of enough practice time, I just don't think that it's advanced or developed enough there at times. But that all said, Easton, you know, this year took the mantle from Kent County in terms of throwing the football, and they had Mason Ledford. But to your point, they had some good guys up front to block, but also some excellent receivers on the outside.
Yeah, and you gotta have, you know, you have to have almost a perfect storm to have a really good, consistent passing attack. I've only seen three teams in my 14 seasons doing this in the Bayside, at least, that could pass the ball with a lot of success. And, you know, that was Curran last year, Cambridge with Taylor Henry about 07 or 08, and then a couple years before that, Easton with Scott Hall. Otherwise, you want the bruiser, you want the good O-line, be able to run the counter, you know, turn the corner, and hope you can pass the box that's always got 9 or 10 guys on it.
It's Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net. Mike Bradley coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios at 10:11 the time. David Inslee joining us on the line from the Star Democrat. Okay, so wrapping up with Queen Anne's, because I want to get to these 1A games here, David. Coach, you can hear the disappointment in his voice. A lot of three-year starters on the team and a team he thought that could get him to the state playoffs. And so maybe a little added salt on the wound with this loss tonight.
Yeah, it's never good for your kids to play the last game and take an L. I mean, it's going to be heartbreaking. But you got to move on and rebuild. The thing is there, though, that with Donnie, he had 11 seniors starting on offense, I think. And so he's got a lot of rebuilding to do. Of course, it's Queen Anne. Donnie's got
they reload
pitching ability.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may be more of a will they reload rather than will they rebuild. But, yeah, it's going to hurt when you lose that much talent, that many kids. I think the most I've ever seen anybody lose, so now to count, lost 20 total starters 1 year. And I'm sure Donnie's in the mid to high teens, so he's going to be close to that.
Yeah. On the 1A side of things, you just mentioned about Perryville and Cambridge a little bit ago with that. But, you know, as I took a look, if anything, Cambridge, I thought, had the offensive advantage in this game. And Perryville was giving up, I think, an average of about 24 points a game. So, obviously, Cambridge added another 10 or so to that, 13 points to that. And I thought their offense had the edge, and they obviously proved it tonight. And they were home, obviously. That helps a little bit as well.
Yeah, it's funny. In 2012, 11 and 12, when Cambridge went up to Perryville, the regional final, Perryville won both games. The local fire department had their truck out, and whenever Perryville would score, they'd blast the horn.
You know.
The following year, CSD did that at the regional final down in CSD, and some of the Perryville people complained that it was tacky and classless. So, you know, that's always hilarious to hear people talk about that because, you know, perception is reality when you're a fan. This year in the fire truck, they didn't need it. They were just they led from the get-go. Basically, the first scoring conversion was all they needed, but they kept going. Trey Lake did really well. Taj Bullock played through a hurt left knee and did a really good job. And you got to give credit to the Cambridge defense. Brandon Tibbs stepped it up. He had a sack, a fumble recovery at one point, recovered that onside kick, had a great game. Several other guys did a really good job on defense. And, you know, that's what keeps you in games. They can say defense wins championships, but you still got to score. So
yeah, that's
they
true.
Had the full package tonight.
Yeah, well, and coming out with that onside kick certainly set the tone for the game, and you mentioned the two-point conversion, which is an excellent point. Kent County tonight, you know, and I said this, and I'll say this about Cambridge, too. You know, Cambridge played Easton last week. What a great game, and they were going to go to the playoffs anyway. Granted, with the loss, they did drop a seed, but they still hosted, obviously, the home game tonight. But that was a great game to get them ready for the playoffs. Kent County, in the same way, they played at Falston last week, and don't get fooled by Falston's record, still a pretty good team. That game definitely got them ready for Bow Manor. It wasn't anything tougher than they saw last week, and probably maybe a little less so, per se. Schedule-wise, at the end of the year, neither team could ask for a better team to tune up for getting into the playoffs. And it showed tonight, because they both won.
Yeah, it was a great way. I mean, it's odd that taking an L like Cambridge did last week, you're losing, you know, big. They got doubled up, basically.
It's a really good Easton team, though.
Yeah, would give you a good tune-up. But sometimes you can bounce back from it because you learn a lot of important lessons, and maybe that was the case.
Well, and Easton, I think, is a better team. Let's be honest about it. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that, but kudos. But with Kent County, their defense really steps up big. Devin Thompson was out for this game. You know, for Green to return 105 yards is outstanding. But a scoreless game of the first half, but to go on the road and get it done, and Marquand Green gets it done for him. A couple of rushing touchdowns and then an interception return. Anytime you go on the road in the playoffs in an atmosphere that Bow Manor, they do a really good job in putting on a football game. A lot of credit goes to the Trojans.
Yeah, for them, you know, winning a road game is hard enough. Winning a road playoff game is even harder. And then winning a road playoff game against a team where you only have a little bit of film is harder still. So, yeah, definitely credit to them for that. And now, of course, like I said on Twitter earlier, CFC's hosting Kent County for the regional championship, and you know you wanted it.
That's right. One thing about Kent County in this game, hopefully I'm not losing my thoughts on this. Oh, yeah, Bow Manor in this game, and I know Coach talked them up and said they were a pretty good team. I know Bow Manor came in at 7-3, and granted, I didn't look at tape on them, but I didn't really see any impressive wins. In fact, one of their losses was to a 2-8 team this year. So, okay, I'll give them some credit, but I certainly thought, throw out the seedings 1-4, Kent County has every bit the opportunity to win, and obviously they proved me right tonight.
Yeah, that's why I picked them too. I just had the funny feeling that, you know, I will say that Bow Manor wasn't very good, because a one seed, you still got to do something good to be a one seed.
Yeah, I'm not saying they weren't good, but I'm just not overly impressed with them. Like, oh my gosh, they're a one seed against a four. It won't be close. No, that's not true.
They didn't have that monster player. They didn't have that dominant offense. They didn't have that defense that could suffocate everybody. Now, granted, they played Kent County to a score of 5 for over half the game. But they just didn't quite have that one little, you know, that one little. They couldn't turn that amplifier up to 11. You know, they only got to 10. They couldn't quite get it to 11.
Good point. Now, next week, Cambridge and Kent County, and I said this to Coach Ironton, you know, you did not expect then to jump out to a 14-0 lead like they did earlier this year when the two played each other.
Right.
But they went about it a different way with the running game, with the Wildcat, with Marquand Green at quarterback, and totally unexpected. I wonder, did they lay the groundwork? They know they got to finish and play four quarters and all that, but did they lay the groundwork for this game in the playoffs here? We can only see, but all you can do is ask to get yourself a second chance, and they've given themselves that opportunity.
Yeah, plus it's an impressive win for them to shut somebody out on the road to the playoffs. That I'm going to have to look up to see when was the last time Kent County did that.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it's going to be an interesting game next week, and, you know, I'll say this, Cambridge knows, you know, they know what happened to them in the first half in that game. But that all said, the game was tied at halftime. So Kent County gave them their best in the first half, and it was still tied. So, you know, that's something that you look at and say, okay, well, you know, that's great what you did, Kent County, but also you were still tied. You weren't leading 14-0. So, you know, the task is tough for them.
Yeah, I'll just say this. It's 3.5 years ago when Cambridge and St. Michael's met each other in the regional baseball championship. Everyone that was going to that game, everyone involved in that game, knew that was going to be one for the ages. We may have one like that this coming Friday at CSD. We may have another mammoth, epic playoff game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty good game. Just early gut feeling, I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I don't necessarily think it's going to be what ended up being a blowout, but really they still had to work very hard for every point, and Kent County kept clawing and scraping in the second half in that game as well.
Yeah, they stayed in it. They never gave up, and that's what you want out of a team, especially when it's, I mean, that's just become the rivalry in the 1A's over here. You know, Colonel and Cambridge are big rivals in baseball, a little bit of basketball, but in football, you know, it's Colonel CSD. It's not Washington Snow Hill. It's not, you know, anybody else. It's, that's the game. And like I said, it's going to be Marquand Green's, I believe, seventh try in his high school career, because I think they've met three times in the playoffs now.
Well, the key stat last time they played was that Marquand Green had no gain bigger than, I believe, 11 yards is what Coach Coleman said in their game. So they, while he had some success, they contained him. They didn't give up the big play. They made him earn it. And that's really all you could ask for a guy like him. And they've got other guys, obviously, that are talented there as well. But obviously, it starts with him.
Right. I mean, if you look at in my experience looking at box scores just for football, if you've got a kid that's got 19 carries for 160 yards, that kid's had a pretty good game. But if he's got 5 carries for 102, he probably had a better game, because odds are 2 of those carries were for scores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you run a guy 19 or 20 times and he's got about 8 or 9 yards a carry, odds are he didn't have a whole lot of big ones. He might have had 1 for 40 or 50. But for the most part, if you got a guy with a really small sample and a lot of yardage, that's the kid that's going to win you the game, whereas your bulldog that's going to, you know, come through with a lot of carries is, you know, the name that comes into my head now is Darrell Johnson. Terrible analogy, because he only got 1 carry per game with the Cowboys. But I think that the irony is, if you give it to Marquand Green 25 times, he may not score more than if he only gets it 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair point. David, any closing words for week one of the playoffs here? I know you're going to be at that game next week, right?
Yeah. My closing remarks are, I voted a write-in for president, so no matter who won, I couldn't be blamed. So I just want to put that out there for 2020.
Okay.
All right, just so everyone knows, I voted a write-in. It was not my fault on either side of the aisle. And let's hope that something good comes from all that. But, the Elkton, North Carolina game should be very good up in Cecil County. The Cambridge County game should be good as well. So I'm excited, looking forward to week 12, and we'll see who makes it into week 13, because in the 1A East, somebody from the Bayside is going to be making the state semifinals, and the 2A East is going to have a 50-50 chance.
No, it's an excellent point. I haven't been to Cecil County for a high school game since I did Stephen Decatur Rising Sun, I think back in 2008, 2009, something like that.
Okay. I'm trying to think of when was the last time I did a game in Cecil. Was probably the 2012 1A East game between Cambridge and Perryville. And Perryville hung 28 on in the first quarter because they had an amazingly good bat.
Right.
I don't think I've ever been to Elkton for a home football game. I've been there for other stuff. I remember going to Northeast High for a game back when Doug Fleetwood was coaching. But I've not been, you know, to some of them. So either way, North Carolina is, you know, they're going to have their hands full. I don't know if it's going to be as tough as the Walkersville game was last year, but, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from Elkton. The guy from the Cecil League tonight was telling me their defense absolutely suffocating.
Yeah.
So
I saw that tonight.
It's going to be a challenge for them, so we'll find out.
Yeah.
I would assume if Mark's doing a game, they're going to be in Cambridge next week?
No, we'll be up in Elkton.
Really? Okay.
Well, because the other station has the Cambridge game.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we want to make sure everybody's covered. Since there are going to be covered, we obviously want to cover North Carolina. So.
Yeah, I'm sure Mark found a good bar up there. Don't lie.
All right, well I may be staying up there myself. All right, so, David, yeah, I'm going to be on the road with them next week. We'll try to patch us in, you know, via from the field, what have you. But as always, I really appreciate your contributions throughout the year on the show.
No problem. If you carpool with them, just so you know, I speak from experience, you're not let B-Craft ride in the front seat. You're 2 people taller than him.
I already called shotgun, so.
You should be able to ride up front, because they put me in the back seat, and I was eating my knees one day for 3 hours.
Yeah, I know. If that's the case, I'll just drive myself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would have rather ridden on the hood.
All right. Know? Well, David, as always, thank you so much. StarDem.com, and your Twitter handle is what?
At Dave Talks Sports. Of course, I've been talking about a whole lot of other stuff.
And we'll save it for Twitter.
We're having fun, and that's the whole point of it, because if you don't love your job, what's the point?
Very true. Very true. All right, David, I'm going to hop. I need to get Coach Coleman. Thank you so much, and we will talk soon. It's 10:23 on the OTL. We're back with our final segment next.
Have a child that needs driver's ed? Maybe you need to attend the Driver's Improvement or Point System Conference class. In either case, you want to make the right choice by calling Bayside Driving School. Bayside Driving School has been locally owned and operated since 1982 and has the most experienced instructors. Driver's Ed classes start monthly in Talbot, Queen Anne, Caroline, and Dorchester. So call to reserve your spot today. For more information, call Bayside Driving School at 410-822-4411 or visit them on the web at baysidedriving.net. Make the right choice. Go Bayside.
Doc's Downtown Grill is your new destination for lunch or dinner. Doc's Downtown Grill has 7 big screen TVs, so you won't miss a single football game. You want to watch the Big Ten or SEC game? No problem. Doc's has them all. Plus, Doc's has the college game plan package, too. Like the NFL better? Doc's has every NFL game offered. Wear your Redskins or Ravens game day gear to Doc's on Sundays, and you could win some great prizes. Take advantage of Doc's touchdown menu during every game. Drink specials, plus food specials that include wings your way for just $6. Doc's Downtown Grill, your new destination for food, fun, and football.
Matt, look out for that skunk!
I didn't even see that until you said something.
Here, try these.
What a difference. No glare.
That, my friend, is the Costa 580 polarized lens from an Optical Galleria. They are a Costa RX dealer, so you can get a Costa with or without prescription. An Optical Galleria has an in-house lab if you want to use your frame. They can fit you with the Experio polarized lens for the best vision under the sun. They're in Centerville and West Ocean City. Stop in and see the difference. 443-262-9415.
This may sound like a typical high school basketball game being played on a Friday night in Maryland. In fact, it's a crash course in cooperation and teamwork. It's a test of dedication, determination, and drive. It's character development in action. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think about this. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students who participate in school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. At the same time, playing sports helps teach lessons not covered in the classroom. Lessons like tolerance, respect for the rules, and the importance of supporting your community. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Maryland Public Secondary Schools Athletic Association and the Maryland State Athletic Directors Association.
It's Overtime Live with Mike Bradley, the only show on the shore covering high school football in the Bayside Conference. Here on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 10:26, coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. And one final look at that Pride Boy Therapy Associates scoreboard. Pride Boy Therapy Associates providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. Well, what a night for football in the 2A East. It was the 4 seed, North Carolina, winner over the 1 seed, Kent Island, 14-7. They'll be taking on the 3 seed Elkton on the road at Elkton next week. That is our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week as Elkton blanking the 2 seed Queen Anne's on the road in Centerville, 12-0. In the 1A East, the 2 seed Cambridge, a winner over Perryville, the 3 seed, 37-7. They had no problem in this game. In fact, Taj Moloch with a touchdown, Trey Lake with a couple of touchdowns. Taj Moloch with another touchdown and an interception at the Cambridge 5. Jake Morris with a TD reception as well. And Cambridge right out of the gate, an onside kick, successful. Brandon Tibbs recovered, and that pretty much set the scene there for Cambridge as they roll. The 4 seed Kent County defeating the 1 seed Bow Matter 19-0 the final as they went on the road. And next week, it'll be the 2 seed Cambridge hosting the 4 seed Kent County. Am I surprised by any of these results tonight? No, I can't say I am. Really, that North Carolina went not an upset. Throw out the seeds. You know the game earlier this year, very close. And North Carolina, if they had gone for it, probably would have won that game. And for Queen Anne's, Elkton's a very good team, especially defensively, as we're hearing. They could throw, they could run, and Queen Anne's offense just couldn't get anything going tonight. I mean, you'd like to think with three-year starters in offense, on the offensive line, that is, you could get it done. But, hey, look, sometimes you just face a team that's better physically. Or maybe they're just having more of a night than you are. And when you get to the playoffs, there's no more tomorrow if you lose. And just as in every game, there can only be a winner and a loser. Can't be two winners. And so Queen Anne's goes down. And the 1A East side, no, expected Cambridge to be Perryville. That's no surprise to me as they roll. And Kent County with a win over Bow Manor certainly thought and picked them to win. So I was 0-2 in the 2A East, 2-0 in the 1A East, same as David Inslee. But not surprised. Again, I didn't think Bow Manor really had any signature wins on the year. And I thought that was a winnable game. And it most certainly was. So that's where we stand. It is odd, though, in the second round of the playoffs, in the region finals, to not have either a Kent Island or Queen Anne's there. It is odd. It's certainly not odd to have a Cambridge or recently a Kent County there, though. And for North Carolina, they're starting to string together some playoff wins that they never had before in the playoffs. You know, last year, they got their first ever playoff win and was undefeated until the state semis against Walkersville, in which they lost on that field goal towards the end of the game. But they put themselves back in a spot to be able to get back to that semifinal, and who would have thunk it? You know, it's a tough journey all the way back. But they got to get through Elkton first, and that will be no easy feat. And so that's where things stand. Just a couple of quick final notes. I'll continue blocking for what we learned at OvertimeLive.net. I will come out with a playoff power poll. I will also come out with a power poll that represents these games as well. I will. So that'll be out either tomorrow or Sunday. We'll have that up. What we learned will be probably on Monday or Tuesday. So we'll take care of you on that. You know, just some final notes, because I won't be on the air in studio doing this anymore, because I'll be out on the sideline next week with North Carolina Elkton up at the game. And I love being on the sidelines at the action. I love it here as well, but it'll be good to get out, as I do at the end of every year. That's my agreement with Mark. But taking a look at the Bayside this year, you know, five teams in the playoffs, almost six. You know, pretty solid year. Again, the biggest thing is the disparity between the North and the South. Yeah, I can cover the rest in blogging, but that disparity with the South is pretty poor. Only two teams out of the last 4 years making the playoffs. And the South just hurting right now, especially against the North. It's the North and North and North. When will that change? We'll see. At some point it's got to, you would think. You would think. All right, that's going to do it. I think we're done. We want to thank all the coaches. Left a message or two for Coach Coleman, but haven't heard from him. But with Cambridge next week in Kent County, ought to love it. Rivalry game. And you know, right now I'm not making predictions, but I always kind of say where I'm leaning. And next week, yeah, I'm still going to have to lean likely with Cambridge. But Kent County, they laid out at least somewhat what they have to do. And what they did in the first half and week, the early season, I don't remember which week it was that the two played each other. But they got to finish, they got to play four quarters. And Cambridge's offense rolled tonight. And Kent County's defense at times has shown really well, at other times not so well. But they do have some athletes to match up with Cambridge. Will it be enough? Tyler Harding made some really nice passes, had a big game against Easton. Now, he may have to do that again somewhat against Kent County. Yeah, they'll still lean heavy run, but they may come out a little bit and surprise you and throw the football a little bit at times when you don't expect it. He may have to come up and make some of the plays they made against Easton. So, again, a great tune-up game for the playoffs. But I would tend to lean that way. Certainly wouldn't be shocked of an upset, but, again, I would lean that way right now. And right now, based on what I know, I would still have to lean Elkton a little bit. You know, David Bailey needs to be as close to 100% as possible in that game, that's for sure. But I think certainly should be a good one. But we'll see. We'll see what I come up with. Nothing is final there. But this is final. So I want to thank Mark Potter, the coach Dale Beecraft, David Inslee, Brendan Ironton, Donnie Grafe, and all you listeners. Really do appreciate it very much. And we'll be back next week. I presume that game will be at 7. So we'll be on the air with pregame at 6:45. If the game should happen to be at 6:30, then our pregame would be at 6:15. But we'll let you know on our Facebook page at Overtime Live, so you can check it out there. And that's going to do it. And that's it for me in studio for another year, 2016. Wow. All right. Again, don't forget OvertimeLive.net. We'll have the playoff power poll. We'll have the power poll. We'll have our What We Learned and picks all coming your way over the next week. And until a week from now, we'll be on the road in Elkton as the 4 seed, North Carolina, will take on the 3 seed, Elkton. We will join Nash Knights Live in Progress coming up. You've been listening to Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton and its suites. It's been yours truly, Mike Bradley, company live from the Edge Training Academy Studios, and Brett Moy Therapy Associates have sponsored your scoreboard updates. That's good to do it. Have yourself a great and safe weekend. We'll talk to you a week from now. Good night, everybody.